teaching subjects, you'll see there's categories: God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, prayer, Bible, leadership, other. Now, you might look through those lists of topics and none of them is what you want taught. But you've got a place there called other where you can write one, two, or three other things and then prioritize them one, two, three. Everybody with me? Now, this is a lot of mental gymnastics on a Sunday morning. All right, so can you take your pencil and where that little blue arrow is pointing down, next to all those topics: Father, heart of God, grace, lordship of Christ, flowing in the ministry of Jesus, person and the Holy Spirit, person and power, gift of the Spirit, activation of the supernatural, under prayer, intercession, spiritual warfare, hearing God's voice, under the Bible, how to study the Bible for myself, study through books of the Bible, an Andrew Womack Bible School, a morning session, or Andrew Womack Bible School evening session, leadership topics, church leadership, how leadership works in the church, and then how those gifts work out in the marketplace, and then other ideas. So under teaching topics, what one that we read there flicks a button and you say, that would be something that would be helpful and what I would need and be of a benefit to our community? Prioritize number one next to your most important one, number two next to the second one, and number three under the third one. And then there's a block there for other ideas. If you can think of something that we missed, please feel free to write other ideas. Okay, everybody happy? Everybody got a pen? Okay. Hey, Kerry and Ryan, are you here this morning? There they are. Congratulations. Why don't you just stand up quickly? People here are multitasked. They can do two things at once. Congratulations, guys. They've just had a gorgeous little son, all in blue there. And bless you, man. This is awesome to see you. He's about a week old now. Unbelievable. Bless you guys, man. Lovely. Looks like Steve wants something as well. What do you want? My money? Good point. If there's not three there that you want to put your prioritizing down, and there's only one that stands out, just write one. You don't have to do three. Got it? Good point. Thanks for clarifying that. Okay, then at the bottom of that left-hand column where the blue arrow is, you'll see there's a box right at the bottom under other ideas called tick times when you could attend teachings at the church. Okay, this is to say, if you are so passionate to get more teaching about the Father heart of God, and you've put one next to Father heart of God, now you're saying if that was taught here at the church on a Thursday, like a Bible study, 7 to 8, or on a Sunday morning earlier, an earlier Bible study service, if you like, a 7:30 to 8:30, or the Sunday 9 to 10:30, or the Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, which is a bit earlier than we've had in the past, but we're meeting with the evening people tonight at the service. So if you here tonight, you'll hear similar things to this, talking about how to best use that time. But we're going to make it a bit earlier, rather 5 o'clock and finishing at 6:30. So you can tick one of those. You can tick all of them. You could say, gee, if they were doing teaching on the Father, heart of God, I could make any one of those four times. Will you make a tick next to that box? Okay. You know what I found particularly difficult as someone leading a church is that on a Sunday morning, you got people who desperately would love an hour teaching of the word, and I love the teaching of the word. You have people who desperately love an hour and a half of just worshiping the King, and I love worshiping the King. There's people who'd love just an hour and a half of the prophetic flow of gifts, praying for the sick, and the supernatural, and I love the supernatural, prophetic, and But to find all that in 1.5 hours is near impossible. And to try and do it, you end up watering down a whole lot of stuff. Are you with me? So this is a way of looking at how can we do that smarter. And I would be very prepared to do, I'd love to do an hour Bible teaching every morning. And in those between Hoppers 7 and Hoppers 8, to have an hour Bible teaching, who want to come through for coffee and then join in for the half an hour of praise and worship, they can either feel free to stay for it or go or whatever. That's an example of what we could do. Are you with me? So by you ticking off there, it's going to give us an indication of scratch where the parrot's itchy and not where you think it should be. Now we're going to move over to the second column on the right-hand side of that page, which please tick the relevant boxes. Now we're going to get to worship and fellowship. Next to worship, again, in fact, you can tick any of these. It doesn't have to be only three. But if you feel like worship conference, we need worship conference, seminar, that type of thing more. Secondly, a worship event, which is just worship uninterrupted. Thirdly, learning. Yeah, and all the sound men got very excited over that. And then learning, A, how to lead, play in a worship team. Something, tick that one. Or how to enter into his presence. Tick that one. To play an instrument. And here we've got a list. Guitar, keyboards, drums. You can just tick the one or circle the one that you've got a particular interest in. Vocals, sound engineering. And then the next. So is everyone with me? Can I give you a second just to go back through that? Have a look. Where something would be helpful for you and for us corporately to best utilize our time and to do the things that are needed. You see, there's a lot of people sitting here and saying, I just love the services as they are. I don't even have a preference. I'll just come and enjoy and go. That's okay. You don't have to tick anything. Are you with me? This is not a fault-finding exercise. This isn't someone championing their own little cause or their own little preference. This is to get a temperature reading of where the church is at corporately. Okay, and then the last one is fellowship. And this is church corporate events. Now, I know that fellowship doesn't just happen in our church corporate events. It happens when you and a few friends meet together for coffee and speak about issues and assure someone you're praying for them. That's fellowship. Fellowship happens all week long in different forums. But there is a sense in which we retain a sense of community by doing things corporately from time to time, like we do on a Sunday morning. This is very important, what we do. If a person keeps staying away from this time, they're going to deplete themselves of a part of their spiritual diet that is unhelpful for them. The teaching of the word, the worship, the fellowship. In a corporate context, you'll see we put there things like picnics, for example. Now, picnics was very in the 70s and the 80s. It started dwindling by the 90s and 2000s. But honestly, tick there if you think, now, that is something I think we can do together. Events like baptism, for example. Remember last year we had the baptism event, table set for food, and those who wanted to be there were there. That was great. That type of thing. Then the third one is the area of camps, church camps. Who's ever been on a church camp in their life? Who had someone in their room that snored? Okay, those same people, keep your hands up because I was going to ask who's never doing a camp again. But camps, doing a camp together. And there's a few categories. A family camp. An age-appropriate camp. So we have a young adults camp or a youth camp or a marriage camp. Camp with small children. Camp with older children. Camp with grandchildren and camp with great-great-grandchildren. Age-appropriate camps. A men's camp or a woman's camp. They, again, meeting a different need and criteria. So can you tick a preference or don't tick at all. Wow. That took a little longer than I thought, but this is important. And I hope over the next few weeks to hand these out to folk who aren't here this morning. Alec, maybe we can chat to the life group. Is Alec here? Okay, all right, that's another conversation there. Okay. All right. Can we stand up, please? Can you pass that piece of paper down to the aisle? And then can I ask one or two of the ushers just to quickly go up and down, let the papers come, and then collect them. Let me just say that if you put a tick around one of the music instruments, if you circled one of the music instruments, you'd like to learn how to lead worship, play the guitar, keyboard, drums, bass, then I want to invite you to speak to Dave Betts, or just write your name on a piece of paper with a phone number, give it to him, or any of the musicians referencing Dave, because then it's going to get to him. So if that was you, just to get that moved on a little bit quicker. Did anyone circle one of the musical instruments? A couple of folk, all right. Yeah, just write that down on a piece of paper and get it to them. Can we pray? Okay, we're standing for a reason. We're standing because I just want to pray over this. I feel like it's a season of spring. Seeds are in the ground. They're beginning to sprout. And we want to put the right fertilizer and the right compost and the right amount of HTO. Are you in agreement with me? So we pray for wisdom over this. This is not a fault-finding survey. This is just a way to measure the temperature where we can address areas to help the body come to maturity by using the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher to come in, and the pastor, to undergird the areas in the church where there's a need, where there needs to be growth and development. So we pray for that right now in Jesus' name. Wisdom from heaven in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can take our seats. And now we're going to take your money. Thank you for your generous giving over the past year. We've been able to meet budgets and pay rents and salaries and all kinds of things because of your faithful stewardship. I know January is a bit of a tricky month, but once again, thank you for partnering. And like I said last week, every time we give, whether it's here on Sunday or electronically, of the amount that we've agreed in our hearts to set apart for this local church to do what it has to do and pay the bills and keep preaching the gospel, in our giving, we are agreeing. We are saying, I'm in agreement. And by giving, I'm saying, yes, Lord. I'm in. That's my confidence. That this place needs to do what it's called to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. All right. Everybody happy? Thank you. That's good to hear. There's a happy lady over here somewhere. Where are you? Identify yourself. Ah, Jan, I knew you'd be happy. And yes, we've done them. We prayed for them. That was that young couple you were laying hands on up front here. Can you do one more exercise this morning? All right, this one's going to take 10 fingers. Okay, everybody. Anybody doesn't have 10 fingers, I mean, I'm not making light of it, but you're just going to have to compromise, you know. You're going to need 10 fingers for this exercise. And I'm going to ask you, I'm going to read through a couple of things. And every time, there's a positive and a negative, all right? Every time there's a negative, you can flick a finger. Don't let anybody see, okay? Just keep it close to the side of your leg. Just put one finger out. So if I'm going to say two things, positive and negative. If you are on the negative side, then you put another finger. Okay. Now, I hope there's not too many negatives, and please don't be too hard on yourselves. But what I've learned is that I love grace. I love the doctrines of grace. I love the gospel preached by grace. But I've also been around long enough to know that just because a person's got all these doctrines of grace correct and can articulate grace perfectly doesn't mean he's enjoying the kind of relationship with the Father that he should be. Are you with me? But don't be too hard on yourself. But I want to ask you, how would you describe your present relationship with the Lord, okay? Firstly, do you feel disconnected or do you feel connected? Okay, so if you felt disconnected, honestly, and there might be people, and it's not a wrong thing, it's not a bad thing, it's just where you are right now, you're feeling disconnected. You got your one finger pointing out, but not letting anybody see, okay? And we'll keep it confidential. You can switch all the cameras off, Andrew. Okay, the second one. How would you describe your relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit right now? Are you discouraged or excited? Okay, and all the excited people, wonderful. If you're discouraged, you can be honest about it. And we're not going to put out the discouragement police on you today. We're just going to take you out the back and shoot you. No, just. Thirdly, how would you describe your relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Confused or envisioned? In other words, envision just means you still got hope in you that He's leading you and guiding you, and you're not totally confused about decisions to make and where you're going and what you should do. Fourthly, how would you describe your relationship with the Lord? Defeated or victorious? Defeated means it's the same temptations you fall into all the time. You just can't get over it. You're defeated in this area. Or you're starting to get some victory and breakthrough, and you're starting to get on top of things. How would you describe your relationship? Fifthly, so finger number five. I hope all your fingers aren't up yet. How would you describe it? As plateaued, kind of just Khan-an mentality, as the Buddha folk would say. Plateaued or contagious. You share it and people around you can see that life in you. Sickly, would you describe it as depressing or joyful? Number seven, would you describe it as in decline or as deepening? Number eight, would you describe it as hopeless or fulfilling? Number nine, would you describe it as guilt-ridden or would you describe it as confident? And then finally, would you describe it as stagnant or growing? Okay, now you can relax your sweaty palms for a moment. But I think if we do that honestly, we might even be quite surprised that our relationship isn't what it used to be negatively, but it's not what we know it can be positively. And all we're doing by contrasting the negative and the positive here is we're taking an honest assessment and we're saying, yes, I get grace and I know that's my only foundation back into a good relationship. Thank God I'm not living thinking God's holding out blessing to me at the end of a 21-day fast or a 21-day living perfect or when I don't do this and do that. Thank God I've moved past that. But just having that assurance doesn't guarantee that my relationship is where it should be. I know you're very quiet because you're deep in thought, but maybe one or two amens aren't such a bad idea. You see, relationship comes to God. He's given us the vehicles of our prayer and communion. So when I talk, how's your relationship? It would include, how's my communion? My talking to the Father, my hearing from the Father, my desire to be with God's people, my participation and engagement in worship and love for it. Because those things are vehicles to strengthen my relationship, but they're also good, healthy indicators of my relationship. Amen? Now, there's three things Jesus spoke about in Luke chapter 15 where he gave these parables. And these will help us see where our relationship got into trouble. The first one he speaks about is the one sheep that got lost out of the 100. The second one he spoke about is the one coin out of 10 that got lost. And the other was the prodigal son out of two brothers who went his own way. And it's like in the first one, the one of the sheep, we can lose our relationship with God when we become distracted. When sheep get distracted, they meander on a different path. So the first of those relational pitfalls is where the sheep is not watching the other sheep. It's just on its own. It gets distracted. I can very easily get distracted. I get distracted when I'm watching too much CNN and Al Jazeera and E! News. My wife knows. If I watch too much news, it's good to watch a little bit. But when you watch too much, you begin looking at the world through the lenses of the world and not through the lenses of the kingdom. And if we're going to grow up spiritually, we can't allow the more negative input than positive input. And that can very easily get distracted. And then, what about this and what about that? And before I know what, my head's got distracted. The second one was the coin. The 1 out of 10 coins that get lost. This is just carelessness. So if the first one, we got distracted, the second one is we've become careless. I don't know. You don't tell too many people about this, but you know when you put your cell phone on the car and so you can do it top of the roof of the car and you do a few things, you get in and you drive down the road. And then you think, gee, my phone's been quiet today. Nobody's phoned me. Just by being careless. We can be careless in our spiritual discipline. We can be careless in our relationship with God. We can be careless about the time we just put aside. Like this is a good time. We put this hour and a half aside because it's part of what's going to nourish and what's going to express the life of God inside of us. But if I neglect it too much and I'm careless with it, it can affect my relationship. Then the third part of the parable was the son. You could say this is when we make a deliberate decision to not be walking in the kind of relationship with God that we should. So the first one is we get distracted, and the second one is we're careless. This one is simply where I've made a decision. I know that's not good for me. I know I shouldn't do that. I know I should, but I'm just making a decision anyway. You know, it's like I'm trying to cut sugar out of my diet, and there's a packet of fudge in the fridge. Now, on the one hand, it's distracting. On the one hand, it's careless that somebody left it there. But at some stage, I make a decision. I'm going to go take that thing, and I'm going to punish it. Hallelujah. Oh, even so, I can feel my mouth watering as I'm even. Now you know my weakness. Do not buy me fudge, please. It doesn't even make it to get home after church. I'll just, addictions run high. But that's a deliberate, and when we make certain deliberate decisions, it's like the son who said, give me my estate, I'm going away. And these things affect our relationship with the Lord and in our growth in spiritual matters. So, this year, I believe it's spring in this house. I believe it's going to be spring for those who say, I'm going to jump into spring. And I'm going through a bit of winter in my personal life, but I'm springing right in. I know I'm going through a little bit of autumn and some stuff's been cut off, but I'm going to jump into spring. In this house, I believe it prophetically in my spirit that we've been through our pruning years, church. Come on. We've been through our laying fallow years. Come on. We're moving into now fruitfulness and harvest and increase and abundance. And I want all God's people to come with. Amen. So, first step that I want to pick up on these things that I've spoken this morning. To restore the positive side of those 10 things I mentioned. I believe with all my heart it's about relationship. It's about having our vision restored of how awesome God is and just being in His presence. That our vision is restored. And I've got a prayer for you this morning. And I've put it up in pictures of spectacular, breathtaking views of creation and nature. Because I don't know about you, but I think most of us, when we see a beautiful rainbow and a sunset and beautiful white beaches and waves, pure, beautiful blue waters, something in us stirs up and goes, God, You are so awesome. You are so majestic. Just recently, we had some time away walking through the mountains. And as you're walking, just breathtaking, spectacular views of mountain ranges and early morning sunrises. Just weeping, walking, enjoying the splendor, the magnificence, sensational beauty of God. Are you with me? Can I show you a few pictures? And as we go through them, I'm going to pray this prayer over your life. Thanks, guys. This is my prayer for you. There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You are our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love where my heart becomes healed and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, You are welcome here. Come and flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by Your presence, Lord. We're going to start again. I invite you to stand up. And I'm going to ask that you allow this to be sung over you this morning. As we come, Father, into Your wonderful presence right now. We just come with hearts surrendered, with hands empty of all man, ability, intellectualism, self-effort. And we come this morning, and Lord, as this is sung over us, we pray where our relationship has got cold, where our relationship has got diminished, that as we look at these pictures, these slides up on the board this morning, that something of Your greatness and Your grandeur will grip us today. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place today. Worship You, Lord. Worship You, Lord.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare Your all living hope. Oh, Your presence.
Sing, I've tasted.
I've tasted. Of love, when my heart becomes free and my chains are undone. Oh, Your presence.
It's okay, I see we got the timing out a little bit, guys. It's okay. Can we go back to the beginning and just start it again, Andrew? Thanks.
Holy Spirit.
We're going to just, God's not concerned if we pause a little bit. Can we just start the slideshow and the song together? it doesn't work this time, just leave it. Let the word, let the song just come. I think we, it's worked so well in the office on Friday. Two vocalists come up and join us on the stage.
And I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves.
My heart
becomes free.
And my chains are undone. Your presence, Lord.
Oh God, your presence, Lord.
Oh,
come on.
continue this morning. We're going to just worship for the next few moments. As we're worshiping, if there's just you standing here this morning and you're going, I love the presence of God when I'm like in a place like this, but I don't walk in it. I don't experience it in my day to day. Then right now, just where you're standing, don't you want to just lift your hands up to the Father? You say, yes, I can sense Him now, but I just need to sense Him all the time. Just from your own heart right now. I love you, Lord. Fill me afresh today. Holy Spirit, come. Say that after me. I love you today, Lord. Come and fill me afresh. Holy Spirit, come. Like rain falling on the fallow ground. Rain down upon me this morning, Lord. Rain upon me your life, your love, your peace. And I declare of all God's people today, Lord, just for an overflow of this corporate worship. And they wake up tomorrow morning, the first words out of their mouth, good morning, Holy Spirit. Good morning, King Jesus. I love you, Father God. There's nothing today that together with you I can't overcome and be victorious and be a conqueror over. Every doubt, every negativity, every fear, we just banish under the blood of Jesus, under the name of His provision, under the name of His healing, under the name of His victory this morning. I pray, God, over your people, not just now, but this coming week, just for an increased awareness, Holy Spirit, that the words of this song will just keep echoing through us. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and flood my heart and fill this atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what my heart longs for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come and flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Yes, your presence. You're welcome in this place this morning, where we are feeling tender, that you'll come refresh this morning, where we feel hopeless, that you will restore our hope today, where we are discouraged, that a new excitement will begin. Lord, where there's confusion, we'll have fresh vision today. Where your people feel defeated, they're going to walk in victory, Lord. Where your people are depressed and plateaued and in decline, Lord, we pray for a joyful, deepening, fulfilling expression of your presence. Lord, where there's hopelessness, people feeling guilty and stagnant, Holy Spirit this morning, not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, says the Lord. Lord, this place will be a spring of life, a pool of living water, a river, a fountain of life. This morning, Lord, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're welcome, you're welcome, you are welcome, Lord. There's nothing compared. There's heaven comes close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen. I've tasted and seen. Oh, the sweetest of love. Where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord, is nothing compared. Nothing compares, Lord. Nothing compares. I want to pray for people. You're standing here right now, you're saying, I need a breakthrough. I need an encounter with the Holy Spirit this morning. It's so close, but I'm just not there. I'm so close, but I'm just not there. I'm going to ask you to do a brave thing right now. Step out from your seat. Come and stand in the front chair. I challenge you. If you're saying, I need an encounter of the Holy Spirit, of the presence of God. He's so real, but I'm just not breaking through. I'm just not there. I want you to slip out of your seats and come and stand in the front right now. No one's going to leave here this morning without an encounter of the presence of God, where hopelessness becomes hope, where depression becomes joy, where loneliness becomes fulfilled in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So just come right now. Just come and stand in the front. Everyone else, let's just keep our eyes closed or keep them centered on what God is doing in your life.
Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord.
fresh, fresh, fresh. Rain from heaven, falling down, refreshing, strengthening, enlightening, filled with hope and joy this morning. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in my life. You're welcome in our place. Filled, 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 filled. Glorious. Out as a declaration before we go out of this place this morning. Just raise your hands to the Lord and say after me, today is the beginning of breakthrough, of fruitfulness, of joy, of love, a river flowing through my life. Into this week and into this month, and it's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. Come on, church. We give you a praise today, Lord. It's all about you. All about you.
Yeah, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you.
I speak over your people today, Lord, the grace of God. I declare over your people today the love of God. And I declare over your people today, Lord, fellowship with the Holy Spirit. As you go from your church, let that river flow out of you. A year of spring. Place of fruitfulness. Don't look back at things the way they were through the lenses of past failures and confusion and disappointments. A new season is here and it's for your life. Come on, one last time. Let's say thank you, Lord. We give you praise and honor in this place. Your wonderful name. Your wonderful name. Amen. 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 God bless. Have a wonderful lunch. Have some fellowship. There's coffee, and if you're visiting and you'd like to come, have a coffee. Amen. God bless.